CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betts with Gregory Copley, my colleague, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, just returned from Tashkent and Samarkand. These ancient cities were all powerful and practiced scientific investigation, education, poetry. 2, 3, 4 millennium ago, we're looking at civilization before it moved to Western Europe. So the great game is back. My memory, Gregory, is the great game was Great Britain, the British Empire, Persia at the time, and Russia. Who were the new players in the great game for the riches of Central Asia?
Well, we also had, during the 18th and 19th century, the Imperial China as being a player in that. And, of course, today, the People's Republic of China is one of the great powers concerned with the domination of Central Asia, simply because that's the conduit area for much of the food and energy, which is keeping the wheels of industry at least ticking over in a minor way in mainland China. So, yes, the Russian Federation is back in the game. Iran is not really a major player in this iteration, but the fact that Iran or Persia is the cultural dominance for the Central Asian region is still critical. But we also have India acting as the, if you like, the successor to the British Empire. And it was from the Indian subcontinent, and what now includes Pakistan as well, and as well as then British-dominated Persia, that the British would attempt to foray into Central Asia in an attempt to curb Russian eastward and southward expansion into Central Asia, which went on particularly in the late 19th century. You had the Khanates of everything from the Caucasus over to the Chinese border being invaded and dominated by Russia. So this is literally only about 120, 150 years ago in the span of things. And so it was not a long colonial domination, which is why when the Soviet Union collapsed, the former Khanates sought and gained their independence and are determined to keep that independence now. Russia and China together are obviously major military powers and could impact or severely degrade any independence operations in Central Asia. However, neither of them are sufficiently wealthy that they want to spend their money doing that at this stage and are preferring to have a diplomatic domination of the Central Asian region. And their ace in the hole has been the fact that the Central Asian states could not trade with the outside world because they couldn't get independent lines of land communication across. That's changing. What we see now is that in the last few years, Uzbekistan has built a rail link down from Tashkent into Afghanistan and have strengthened their road links there too. The rail link from into Afghanistan will eventually go over to Pakistan and link with the Pakistani railroad system down to Karachi and Gwadar. In the meantime, even in the last 6 months, the Taliban in Afghanistan, who have been so concerned about getting money that they have guaranteed a lot of the highway traffic going south of Tashkent in Uzbekistan and across Afghanistan. So you've got the road traffic getting safe passage between Uzbekistan and Pakistan. And that's been picking up dramatically. Still not enough, but it's giving the Central Asian states hope that they can build these land corridors down to the Indian Ocean and the outside world.
Is the U.S. anywhere on the scene? I saw nothing in Baku.
The U.S. has been on the scene, but the way in which the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan in August a year ago, last year, had so discouraged Central Asia that the U.S. lost massive amounts of its influence, and the Central Asian states are trying to help the U.S. rebuild that, and they are looking to Pakistan, the European Union, and India as partners in this process.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,